Speaking of charging for CDs, only kidding. One of our ministries of the church is that I've always had this policy. We provide any message free on CD. So when you guys, if I ever preach a message you like, you want a copy. They're little gospel weapons, you know. You give out these messages. Some of you get saved, you know, or come to church. But yeah, any message that you want a copy of, I'm going to have copies of every service available here under the pulpit. I won't charge you much, but free of charge. It's a ministry of the church.
Well, we should pay for the discs to help replenish.
Yeah, the church will replenish my disc supply when I run out. Right now I got plenty, so praise God. Amen. Let's grab our Bibles.
What channel are we going to?
Open up to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 tonight, beloved. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. As you know, because I've been doing my commercials from the pulpit, we're going to begin our study on prophecy, eschatology, end time events tonight. And the first series of messages I want to bring is entitled The 8 Stages of the Second Coming. The second coming of Jesus Christ is going to occur in 8 particular stages. There's going to be a gathering of all of the armies of the world. You say, Pastor, what about America? Will the American military be there? Oh, yeah. Say, how do you know that? Because it will be politically incorrect not to be there. Did you hear what I said?
Yeah.
This political correctness going on, it's unbiblical. I want to be biblically correct. And never mind about politically correct. So yeah, I'm certain that America will be there. Unfortunately, the Bible says the whole world will be deceived by the Antichrist. Meaning they will send their armies to his side to fight against the King of Kings. But before I get into the, and I'll have you out of here by midnight, I guarantee it. Before we get into our message tonight, I want to show you something very important that will occur prior to the second coming. And that is the rapture of the church. I want to show you why we believe in what we term the pre-wrath rapture of the body of Christ. You, beloved, if you're born again, you're saved, you will not be here for the tribulation period, the events we're going to study. You will be raptured out before it occurs. Look here in 2 Corinthians 5. This has nothing to do with my message, but I want to give you some comfort tonight, some confidence that you'll know we'll be raptured out before these things take place. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul is speaking about physical death of a Christian, and that we have a glorified body awaiting us in heaven. Amen? What he says here, for we know that if our earthly house, that's this body, this physical body you live in, your soul, let me make a statement, you are a spirit being, trapped in a physical body. You got to grab hold of that truth. You're a spiritual being trapped in a physical body. One day, your spiritual being, the real you, will be released from this. And we'll get a glorified one. Well, we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, that's what happens when they put you 6 feet under. Your body dissolves. Worms eat it. I don't want to get graphic, ladies, but it's not a pretty picture. We have a building of God, and house not made with hands, eternal. Your glorified body will be eternal in heavens. For in this body, we groan. Anybody got any aches and pains? Earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven, glorified body. If so be that being clothed with a glorified body, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan. This body gets old, it gets aches and pains, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed. Now watch what he says here. Unclothed meaning physical death. Paul says somebody is not going to experience a physical death. Not that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon with a glorified body, he's saying, that mortality, which you have right now in your physical flesh, might be swallowed up of life. What does that mean? I've studied this passage for 27 years. And what it means is Paul is saying that certain people, a certain generation of believers, is not going to experience physical death. And I believe we're that generation. He's saying that, verse 4, for in this that we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened. Not for that we would be unclothed. Not that we would die, he's saying. But clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Notice the last word of verse 4. Normally, mortality for a Christian is swallowed up after they die. He's saying these people are not dying. They're going from this mortal body to an immortal body, bypassing physical death. Did you catch it? Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Flip back a couple pages, you'll be there. 1 Corinthians 15. Look at verse 50. I'm going to move quick. Verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, saved people, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. My church in Colorado, we had a plaque over the nursery. And it had this verse, verse 51. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. I knew she'd get that. Right over the nursery. Which little rascals, go to sleep. But no, notice, seriously. We shall not all sleep. That's physical death. But we shall all be changed. Not our diaper. Our physical body will be changed to a glorified body. When will that occur, somebody? Tell me.
During the rapture.
And the rapture. When the rapture takes place, we'll hear, come up hither. Boom. You are changed from a corruptible body to an incorruptible one. In a moment. Look at it. Verse 52. In a moment. In the twinkling of an eye. Scientists measured that time distance of twinkling of an eye. They said it's 1.2 million billionth of a second. Whatever that is, it's very quick, very quick. In the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound. 1 Thessalonians 4:17, the trumpet shall sound. Amen. And the dead, watch, the dead, those Christians who died and they're buried, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we, who is the we?
Living
Christians shall be changed. Okay, why? Because we're getting raptured. We're not going through. This is a pre-wrath rapture of the church. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So, when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? Somebody is mocking the grave, and it's Christians who don't die. Look what they say. O death, where is thy sting? You can't touch me. Na 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 na. Verse 55. O grave, where is thy victory? You never got me. The generation that's going to be raptured out is going to mock the grave because they'll never experience it. And I believe we are the ones. Glory to God. Go with me to Philippians chapter 3. Quickly. Philippians chapter 3. See it one more time. In Philippians chapter 3. And look with me at verse 11. Paul is describing his earthly service to the king and his future glory. And he says this, verse 11, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Somebody's getting resurrected. Not as though I had already attained. Paul says, I'm not already glorified. Either we're already perfect. Your new body, your glorified body will be perfect, sinless, eternally. But I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I also am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. He says, I'm not glorified yet. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, that's important, Christian, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark. For what, Paul? For the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Somebody is being called up on high. Notice the wording in verse 14. I press for the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Somebody's getting called up yonder to glory. It's a rapture, and it's a pre-wrath rapture that we're not going to go through that tribulation period. 1 Thessalonians, go forward past Colossians, 1 Thessalonians. Don't miss this, verse 9. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols, to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven. That's what we're doing. Whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which what? Delivered, past tense, us, saved people, from something. The what?
The wrath.
The wrath to come. What is the wrath to come, somebody?
Tribulation.
Tribulation period. You got it. We got an educated congregation. He says we've already been delivered from the wrath to come. Why? Because you have eternal life abiding in you, and the Spirit of God that is in you is going to quicken you, your mortal body, and rapture you out of this world before the wrath comes. Notice that. 1 Thessalonians 4. Everybody's familiar with this passage. 1 Thessalonians 4. And we read in verse 13, for I would not have you ignorant, that's unknowing, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, Christians who died, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. We're living in a world that has no hope, because they don't have the King of hope, Jesus Christ. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, do you believe that?
Yes.
Amen, church. Even so, them also which sleep in Jesus, saints who've died, they sleep in Jesus, will God bring with him, coming back with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord. Paul says, it's not my personal opinion. That we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord, first phase, and shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. A rapture is taking place. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord where?
In the air.
Not on Mount Olivet, where he's going to touch down on the earth, but up in the air. Somebody's going up to meet him in the air. Certain others, Israel, the remnant, are going to meet him at Mount Olivet when he touches down on the earth. He's not touching down in chapter 4. We're going up to meet him up yonder. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Glory to God. Look with me in 1 Thessalonians 5. Look at verse 2. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. That's the tribulation period. And what's what he says about it? For when they, lost people, shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon who? Them. Not you. Them. Them that know not the Lord. As travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape the tribulation period context. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. It's not overtaking you, child of God. Ye are all children of light, children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night. And they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. Why, Paul? Verse 9. For God hath not appointed us to what?
Wrath.
You are not appointed to suffer wrath in the tribulation. He says it right here. But to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us. Glory to God. I'm so glad that we are not appointed to the wrath of the tribulation. That's for the lost world who know not God. 2 Thessalonians 2. Look at verse 1. Somebody's being gathered together somewhere. Verse 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our what?
Gathering
together unto Him. We're going up to Him. He's not coming down to us. He's not coming down to earth until the end of the 7 years. But somebody's going up before the 7 years begins. I'm so glad that you and me are gathering together unto Him. Revelation chapter 4, don't turn there. Verse 1 says, I heard a voice also saying unto me, come up hither. Come up hither. And from Revelation 4, 1 all the way to Revelation 19, verse 11, there's no church on earth. You cannot find the church. You can look till you're blue. It's not going to happen because the church is not on earth during the tribulation period. She comes back with the Lord Jesus Christ as He crushes the enemies of the church. Glory to God. That was my intro. Now we'll get going. Praise the Lord. The 8 stages of the second coming. I just wanted to give you that. And we just scratched the surface, brethren. There's a lot more verses that show that we are not going to suffer the wrath of God. Hey, would you let your bride suffer?
I'm sorry.
Oh, that's okay, Carol.
I just have a question.
Oh, yeah, go right ahead.
I always thought that children, until they reached the age of accountability, if they died, would go to heaven.
Mm-hmm.
But according to this, unsaved people and their babies are going to go through the tribulation, right?
That's speaking about women who become pregnant after the rapture.
Okay.
Because babies and children under the age of accountability belong to Jesus Christ. They belong to the body of Christ. The atonement was for them too. Why? Because where there is no law, there is no sin. Those babies, there's no law. They don't understand. They have a sin nature, but they're not accountable for sins committed because they haven't committed sin yet. See?
Okay.
So you're right. They're going up with us. After we go, multitudes of women are going to become pregnant during the tribulation period. And that's why it says, woe unto them that give suck in those days.
Yeah.
There will be women. They'll still be able to conceive after the church is gone, sadly.
They'll be eating their own babies.
Oh my goodness. Horrific, horrific things will be occurring. Okay, 8 stages of the second coming. Let's go. The 2 climactic events of the Great Tribulation are the campaign of Armageddon and the second coming of Messiah. Now, Armageddon, that's Har, Mount of Megiddo. Har Megiddon, Mount of Megiddo. This is the physical, geographical place where all the armies, we're going to see that tonight. But that's what Armageddon means. Now, Armageddon is actually in multiple places. You've got to understand this. It's not just one battle. Armageddon, you've got Jerusalem here. Picture this as a map of Israel. Jerusalem is here. Up to the northwest, about 25 miles, you have Mount Megiddo. It's not really a mountain. It's only about 500 feet above sea level. It's a hill, but they call it Har Megiddon, Mount of Megiddo. That's where it flows into the Valley of Jezreel, which is huge. And that's where the blood will reach the horses' bridles. It's going to be horrific. That's where the armies will gather. Now you've got Jerusalem, one place concerning the second coming. You've got Megiddo, very important place. Back to Jerusalem and go south about 40 miles southeast. And you've got Edom, Bozrah, right. Sela Petra. It's all in there. That place is going to be very important too. Isaiah chapter 63. Let me show you that real quick. And by the time I get done with this next 8 weeks, you're going to know why Bozrah is extremely important. Isaiah 63. Look at this concerning Bozrah, where Sela Petra lies. In Isaiah chapter 63, somebody's getting annihilated down here. Isaiah 63. Who is this that cometh from Edom with dyed garments from Bozrah? This is glorious in his apparel. It's Messiah. Traveling in the greatness of his strength. I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. Wherefore art thou red in thine apparel, and thy garments like him that treadeth in the wine fat? His garments are all red, blood red. 3. I have trodden the winepress alone, Revelation 14:20 says he's going to tread the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. He's going to crush them. You know, when John saw him in Revelation chapter 1, this is going to get good. His feet were as polished brass. In the Bible, when you hear brass, think of judgment, divine judgment. It always stands for judgment. The brazen altar where they sacrifice the animal, they shed its blood, brass. It's a brass altar. Now look at verse 3. I trod in the winepress alone, and of the people there was none with me, for I will tread them in mine anger. He's not dying on a cross. I will trample them in my fury, and their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garments, and I'll stain all my raiment, for the day of vengeance is in mine heart. That doesn't include you. That doesn't include you, beloved. You love Jesus. You are his bride. You're going to be saved from that. But you're going to see why when we get done, why he's coming from Bozra with blood-stained clothes. You're going to know perfectly why. You're going to be able to answer those who ask you why. All right, now, a considerable amount of prophecy and detailed data is given us in the Bible concerning these events. One of the greatest difficulties in studying eschatology, church, is placing these events in their proper chronological sequence in order to see exactly what will occur and when these events will occur. Sunday night, we're going to be looking at these for the next 8 weeks concerning these particular events surrounding the second coming. These messages will be a detailed unveiling from Scripture concerning these amazing truths. First stage. Tonight we're looking at the first stage of the second coming, and that is the assembling of the allies of Antichrist. Before there can be an Armageddon, there needs to be an assembling together of all of the armies of the world under the headship of Antichrist, right? So that's what we're going to look at tonight, because that's the first stage. The assembling of the armies of Antichrist will be triggered by the angel, the sixth angel, pouring out the sixth vial judgment. Go with me to Revelation chapter 16. Here we go. Revelation chapter 16. Now, this angel, the vial judgments are wicked. Oh, the vial judgments are the worst judgments, divine judgments, during the tribulation period. They take place at the end, the final month, of the Great Tribulation, which is the last 42 months. And the first step is gathering together all of the armies of planet Earth to do war against the King of Kings. The devil is so deceptive that he is going to convince them that they can beat Jesus. That is deception to its umph degree. Look with me in Revelation 16, verse 12. And the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. Now, time out before we read again. The kings of the east coming across a dried up Euphrates River, where are they heading? Where are they heading? To Jerusalem. They're going to surround Jerusalem because Antichrist says we got to kill all the Jews so that Messiah can't set up his kingdom. And if they could, he couldn't. He couldn't fulfill the Bible if they could kill all the Jews. So they're heading to Jerusalem to kill all the Jews. You got to get the picture here. This is not to be confused with chapter 9, the 200 million man army. This is, and it's not to be confused with the Chinese. This is not the Chinese. If you go directly from Jerusalem east to the Euphrates River, what do you come to, somebody? What geographical location? Syria is north, but what is east from Jerusalem?
Iraq.
Who said it? Iraq. And what is the capital of Iraq?
Baghdad.
What was the Old Testament name for Baghdad?
Babylon.
Babylon. Folks, you have to be a literalist if you want to be a true Bible believer. Because God means what he says, and he says what he means. Unless he tells you it's a parable or a spiritual illustration, it's literal. When you come to Revelation 17 and 18, I'm going to teach you this. Babylon is Babylon. It's not Rome, though Rome is involved. Babylon is Babylon. Babylon is still Baghdad, and you have to understand something. I said there's four key places we're going to be studying. Jerusalem, where everything takes place. You've got Megiddo up here. Down here, the third one is Basra, Silipitra. And the fourth one is Babylon. Babylon is where Antichrist will set up his worldwide headquarters. Okay?
Baghdad.
Baghdad will be the worldwide central. You got to have CIA, Central Command, for any military. And Antichrist, Central Command for the world, will be in Baghdad, according to Scripture.
What's going to happen to Rome?
Rome's going to be destroyed because the Catholic, I've taught her well. The Catholic Church is a false. It's a false bride. It's going to be destroyed because they're going to join the one world religion under Antichrist, beast worship. They're all going to be destroyed.
Didn't the Vatican endorse Adolf Hitler when he first started?
Yes, they did. How they helped kill those Jews.
Exactly. Adolf Hitler was a Catholic.
Yes.
He was also, most people don't know this, he was also a practicing occultist.
He was also part Jew.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Hitler was a bad dude. He was demon-possessed.
Correct.
A lot like a man named Ahmadinejad in Iran today, who wants to do exactly what Hitler tried to do.
And the Pope at that time forked over money to him to help
funding the destruction of the Jews. Oh, how horrific.
I
know. It's so sad. It's so sad. But look here. Verse 12. The Euphrates River is dried up. The kings of the East are not the Chinese, and they're not the 200 million demonic creatures coming up out of the bottomless pit in chapter 9. A lot of preachers confuse these kings of the East with them. These are human that we're reading about in chapter 16. These are human armies under the direction of Antichrist, okay? And they're marching for Jerusalem to destroy every living Jew, whether it's a six-month-old baby or a pregnant woman. They're evil. And Messiah will take care of this ugly bunch. Verse 13, and I saw, watch how they're gathered. I saw three unclean spirits. Somebody tell me, what are those? Demons. They're powerful demons coming out of the mouth of the dragon and out of the mouth of the beast and out of the mouth of the false prophet. There is the satanic trinity. Everything God does, the devil imitates. You've got the dragon, that's Satan, the father. You've got the beast, that's Antichrist, the son. And you've got the false prophet, that's the false spirit, the spirit of Antichrist. Now, look with me in Isaiah 41. Hold your place in Revelation. We're coming back. In Isaiah chapter 41, we have an incredible prophecy. I'm so glad that the Lord lays it all out for us in black and white. And all we have to do is pray and ask the Holy Spirit to show us the truth. Isaiah 41. Look with me at verse 2. Verse 2. Who raised up the righteous man from the east? This is speaking of Cyrus, who declared a decree from Persia. Persia, that's... What is Persia today?
Iran.
It's Iran. Who was the head of Iran? And don't let this new president, he's just a puppet. Ahmadinejad still in control, and the Ayatollah calls the shots. Who raised up the righteous man from the east? Cyrus. Called him to his foot, gave the nations before him. The Antichrist is going to have control of all nations. Made him rule over kings. Yeah, the kings of the east. Watch. He gave them as dust to his sword, and as driven stubble to his bow. This Antichrist, he's got a bow. He's got a bow. Revelation 6:2, he sits on a white horse with a bow, right? Verse 3, he pursued them and passed safely. He's going to pass over Euphrates, even by the way that he had not gone with his feet. Yeah, you're walking through the Euphrates River. No man has done that. On dry ground, it's never happened in history, but it's going to. It's going to. Look with me in Isaiah chapter 44. Chapter 44, verse 27. Verse 27. That saith to the deep, Watch this, speaking of the Euphrates. To the deep be dry, and I will dry up thy rivers. That saith of Cyrus, the king of Iran, Persia, he is my shepherd, and shall perform all my pleasure, even saying to Jerusalem, thou shalt be built, and to the temple thy foundation shall be laid. See, he's going to take care of this king from Persia. He's going to annihilate him. Iran, Babylon, Assyria, Syria, all these will come from the east, heading to Jerusalem for destruction. Matthew chapter 2. Go with me to Matthew chapter number 2. And look here, just to prove my point. Scripture with scripture. Always compare scripture with scripture. No verse is an island. Verse 1, now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from where?
East.
They're coming from the east to where? To Jerusalem. Now somebody tell me, where were these wise men from? Think, what happened 700 years prior to the birth of Jesus Christ? Where was Israel? They went into captivity where? Babylon, the east, Baghdad, and Daniel and Meshach, Abednego, these guys brought the scriptures with them. And they won some proselytes to Judaism. And you know what? They handed down the scriptures, the Jewish scriptures, so that these wise men, why were they wise? They understood the prophecies of the Messiah, that he would be born in Bethlehem. The verse says right there, they knew Micah 5:2, that he would be born in Bethlehem. They saw his star, and they said, we're going to go, and we're going to worship this king. We're going to fall before him and present gifts unto him. They're from the east.
Wasn't that star that led them to the manger really an angel?
Absolutely. Good man. Taught him well. It's an angel. Because the Bible says of that star, the star came and stood over the child. A star can't stand. It takes a person to do that. It's an angel. Absolutely. And you'll see many, that's a whole other message, but the many occurrences of stars in the Bible that are actually angels. So you can prove it from Scripture. All right. Babylon will be the worldwide headquarters of Antichrist from the east, and they will come across the Euphrates River. You got to cross Euphrates to get to Israel. Verse 13. Now, back to our text. Look here. Verse 13, Revelation chapter 16. Somebody read us verse 13 and 14.
And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet.
Mm-hmm.
But they are the spirits of devils working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world, to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty.
Bingo. Here we have a lot of information. We learned that demonic powers are going to draw these kings and their armies to Babylon under the headship of Antichrist in order to march on Jerusalem. And it says here in verse 14 that they work miracles. You know, all these Pentecostals and Charismatics, they talk about wonders and signs and miracles. Well, you best be careful about that because the devil can give you some. I was telling Brother Tim on the way home from church this morning that there's this one Pentecostal church and they have an after-service service. For those who want some heavy-duty miracles, they go down in the basement and they have cones. You know those fluorescent orange cones that they use on the highway? They levitate. It's a miracle of God. No, it's not. My Bible says, believe by faith, not by sight.
That's right.
That stuff is of the devil. You best be careful about these signs and wonders and miracles. That's what he says. They go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world. That includes America. And to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. Now, what's that mean? The order from Antichrist to muster his armies will go forth worldwide. And they will,
yes, sir, yes, sir. Anything you say,
you know. They are totally under his control. They are totally controlled by demonic powers. And they will come and they will attempt to annihilate the Jews. Notice in verse 13, the satanic trinity. Notice in verse 15, a parenthetical message of comfort to tribulation believers. Verse 15, look at it. Behold, this is amazing, because in the middle of this horrific prophecy, the Lord, the Holy Spirit, voice of Jesus Christ says, behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. The Lord says, stay faithful.
That's right.
Those tribulation period saints. Hey, let me tell you something, folks. After the rapture occurs, the greatest revival the world has ever known will take place. How? There's 144,000 Jewish believers that are going to preach the gospel worldwide, and they can't be hurt. You can't kill them. I love it. They're Jews. They're not Jehovah's Witnesses, like they try to tell you. Chapter 7 tells us of the tribe of Issachar, of the tribe of Zebulun, of the tribe of Judah, you know? They're Jews! And they're going to preach the gospel, and their preaching will produce such a harvest of souls like the world has never seen. I am excited about it. Now, we have in verse 16, he, look at that in verse 16, and he, who is the he of verse 16? Somebody?
Jesus.
Nope. Look at it again. He gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue. That's right. The Antichrist. He will gather them together. He will order them to come. Anybody who doesn't come, off with the head. Guillotine's coming back. Probably won't even use a guillotine. These punks, these terrorist punks, they just use a sword to cut your head off.
That's it.
You know? I don't want to be graphic, ladies, but this is what we're dealing with.
Yeah.
These people are evil. They need to be destroyed, the Bible says. Arm, mount, Megiddo, Megiddon. Judges chapter 5. Go with me to Judges chapter 5. This is powerful stuff. And this will occur shortly on planet Earth. I'm glad we're ready, church. I'm glad we're ready. That's the only thing that matters tonight. Are you ready? Chapter 5 of Judges. Look at this. Verse 19. Incredible prophecy. Remember Sisera back there in Judges chapter 4? Old Sisera in the battle that came against Israel? Watch what happens here. Judges chapter 5. This is going to occur during the tribulation period. This is a prophecy. Watch this. And verse 19. The kings came and fought. Who are they fighting against? Israel. They're trying to annihilate the Jews there in chapter 4. And Deborah is rehearsing. This is the song of Deborah. The kings came and fought, then fought the kings of Canaan and Taanach by the waters of what?
Megiddo.
Note that. Armageddon. It's the same place. They took no gain of money. They fought from where? Heaven. Angelic assistance. The stars, Timmy, the stars, angels, in their courses fought against Sisera. You know why Deborah and Barak won the battle? Verse 9, look at it, verse 20. The stars, those angels of God, fought in their courses against Sisera. The river of Kishon swept them away. That ancient river, the river Kishon. Oh, my soul, thou hast trodden down strength. Then were the horse hoofs broken by the means of the prancings of their mighty ones. He says there's angelic assistance coming, and it's going to destroy these enemies coming against Israel. It's a prophecy. Go to Zechariah chapter 12, just before Malachi. Zechariah chapter number 12, and then we'll move on. We cannot lose, church, because of him who was on our side. Chapter 12 of Zechariah. Look at verse 9. Don't miss this. And it shall come to pass in that day. The context is tribulation period. That I, this is God talking, I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem. And I will pour upon the house of David, upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. They're going to be born in a day. They're going to receive the Holy Spirit just like you and I have. Look with me here in Zechariah chapter 12, Look at verse number 11. In that day shall there be a great mourning in Jerusalem, as the mourning of Hadriman in the valley of Megiddo. There it is again. The valley of Megiddo. Megiddo. Armageddon. You getting it? This is where it's going to occur. Okay, now, Megiddo runs into the valley of Jezreel. This is very important. So technically, the valley of Jezreel, guarded by the Mount of Megiddo, will be the literal geographical location for the gathering of all of the armies of Antichrist, okay? That's why that blood is going up to the horses' bridles. It says in the valley of Jezreel, which is Megiddo. It's Megiddo. Okay, now, Joel chapter 3. Turn with me. If you're still in Zechariah, go back prior to Amos. And you'll find Joel, just after Hosea. Joel, powerful, powerful book. The book of Joel. Joel chapter 3. Look at this incredible prophecy. We're seeing a gathering tonight in our first message. A gathering of the armies of the earth to come with the Antichrist to try to destroy every living Jew. What is the purpose of the tribulation period? Somebody. The ultimate purpose for Messiah to do what?
To build his army.
Build his army, and he wants to set up a what?
Kingdom.
Kingdom. It's to set up his worldwide universal kingdom, and the Jews converted to Jesus Christ, accepting Messiah and receiving his spirit like we have, will rule the world during the 1,000 years. You and I will rule and reign with Jesus above the world. I'm so glad of that. We have a special place, church, above the Jews. Now look here in Joel chapter 3. Notice God's welcoming these armies. He's almost mocking them. Look with me at verse 9. Verse 9. God is speaking. Proclaim ye this amongst the Gentiles. Prepare war. Wake up the mighty men. Let all the men of war draw near. Let them come up. God speaking. Beat your plowshares into swords. He says, make some nuclear weapons. Your pruning hooks into spears. Get you some tanks. Get you some jets, some fighter jets, some missiles. Let the weak say, I am strong. Assemble yourselves and come, all ye heathen, and gather yourselves together round about. Thither cause thy mighty ones to come down, O Lord. And trust me, church, thither he will. They're coming down, and they're, look at, let the heathen be wakened and come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat. Glory to God, for there I will sit to judge all the heathen round about. Flip back to Psalms, Psalm 2. We're laying a foundation tonight for the second coming. The first stage is the gathering together of the armies of the world. Look at this in Psalm 2. Another powerful passage. Why do the heathen rage? This is a second advent prophecy. And the people imagine a vain thing. It's a vain thing for man to think that he can beat God in a fight. The king, look at it. The kings of the earth set themselves. And this hasn't taken place yet, folks. It's yet to happen. And the rulers take counsel together against who? Against the Lord and against his anointed. That's the Christ. That's the Messiah saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. We don't want to submit to this Jesus Christ. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his what?
Wrath.
Wrath's coming down. Not a lamb dying on a cross, but a king issuing wrath. And vex them in his sore displeasure. Verse 6. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. He says, they can do what they want. These world rulers, I'm going to set up my king and nobody's going to stop me. I love it. Glory to God. Isaiah chapter 34. We're almost done. Isaiah chapter 34. Let's finish up. Isaiah chapter 34. Don't miss this. God is speaking. Come near, ye nations, to hear and hearken, ye people. Let the earth hear and all that is therein, the world and all things that come forth of it. He says, I got something very important to tell you. For the indignation of the Lord is upon what? All nations. It's tribulation. Great tribulation here. And his fury upon all their what?
Armies.
Their armies are being annihilated. He hath utterly destroyed them. Oh, I love how Isaiah talks in the past tense. He's saying it's a done deal. They're dead. You know what Jesus Christ is going to say to the Antichrist? When Jesus comes down on that white horse and we're with him and he's riding in all his majesty and the Antichrist comes up, says, come on. And Jesus Christ is going to say, drop dead.
That's where that phrase drop comes dead. From. That's where it comes from.
That's it.
And the Bible says he's going to cast them into a bottomless pit for 1,000 years. And it says the birds are going to feed upon his flesh and his army's flesh.
I'd like to see Jesus punch him at least once.
Yeah, man. A good one. He'll get him. He'll get him.
I want to see him punch him at least
verse.
I know somebody that told somebody to drop dead and they literally did.
Oof. Scary. He had delivered them to the slaughter. Verse 3, their slain also shall be cast out, and their stink shall come up out of their carcasses, and the mountain shall be melted with their blood. Who's the they of verse 3? All of the armies of the Antichrist. Look at it. Their dead bodies are going to stink. And all the host of heaven shall be dissolved. That's second advent. And the heaven shall be rolled together as a scroll. And all their hosts shall fall down as the leaf falleth off from the vine and as a falling fig from the fig tree. For my sword shall be bathed in heaven. Behold, it shall come down upon where? Idumea. That's Edom. And upon the people of my curse to judgment. The sword of the Lord is filled with blood. It is made fat with fatness and with the blood of lambs and goats, with the fat of the kidneys of rams. For the Lord hath the sacrifice in where? Bozra, Silapitra. He's coming to rescue the remnant of Israel. And a great slaughter in the land of Idumea. And the unicorn shall come down with them. And the bullocks with the bulls, all the strong soldiers. And their land shall be soaked with blood. And their dust made fat with fatness. Why? For it is the day of the Lord's vengeance. And the year of recompenses for the controversy of Zion. It's all about Zion, Jerusalem. And the streams thereof shall be turned into pitch, and the dust thereof into brimstone. Somebody's getting burnt. And the land thereof shall become burning pitch. It shall not be quenched night nor day. The smoke thereof shall go up forever, from generation to generation, during the millennium. It shall lie waste, none shall pass through it forever and ever. Glory to God. He's coming down, and he's not happy. Now, notice that no battle has taken place yet. Merely a gathering together of all of the armies of the world to Armageddon. This is the first stage of the second coming. Now, in closing, let me give you this. I'm not going to go there. We don't have time. But I can quote you the verse. You can write them down if you want. Megiddo in the Bible is always associated with death. Let me give you the verses. 2 Kings chapter 9, verse 27. This is your homework. That's 2 Kings 9:27. Joshua 12, verse 7 and verse 21. 2 Kings chapter 23, verse 29. 2 Kings chapter 20. Sorry. Joshua 12, verse 7 and verse 21. 2 Kings chapter 23, verse 29 and 30. 2 Chronicles, chapter 35, verse 22, 3 and 4.
25?
Yep, 35. 2 Chronicles, 35, 22 through 24. First stage, gathering together all armies of the earth. Second stage, we'll see next week, the destruction of Babylon, the headquarters of Antichrist. Now, in closing, go with me to Revelation again. We're done. I promise. Revelation 19. Let's see what happens here. Revelation 19. Remember, all these armies are coming together. All of the armies. There's never been an alliance like this one. But I've got bad news for them. They're going to be sorely disappointed. Revelation chapter 19. You and I will have glorified bodies. Joel chapter 2 describes us as an indestructible army. It says if we fall upon a sword, won't hurt us at all. Get it right out of there. Chapter 19, look at it. Verse 11. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness of wrath of Almighty God. He hath on his vesture, on his thigh, a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun. And he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that ye may eat the flesh of kings, yeah, the kings of the east, and the flesh of captains, yeah, the captains of their armies, the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses, and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beast, Antichrist, and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. We're not going any further. That's where I want to leave you. But trust me, the ending is good. And very good. Dear Lord in heaven, how we thank you tonight for the first phase of the second advent. The gathering together of all these evil armies of the world who have followed the lies of Antichrist, which are the lies of the devil. They've received his mark. They've fallen down and worshipped this beast. No greater description than a beast. That's what he is. And they have been deceived and they will be destroyed. Lord, I do not glory in that. But we know it's true because the Bible says it. Lord, I thank you for your believing people all around this world tonight that love and honor and worship the King. I thank you that we'll be coming with you on white horses clothed in fine linen. The righteousness of God. I thank you, Lord, that we're already victors. The battle is already won, and Jesus is the winner. We love you tonight, Lord. And we thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for the truth of the Bible. We thank you that we stand on this holy book right here. There's nothing else that we want but the Word of God, the truth of Jesus Christ. We thank you for it tonight, Lord. Thank you for assuring our hearts and reminding us that it's going to be nothing but glory in our future. Oh, we're children of the King. We're so blessed, like Mary this morning. We're highly favored, favored of the Lord. The blessing of the Lord resteth upon us, and we're thankful for it tonight. Bless our church, Lord. Increase us, multiply us, and may you be glorified in this place until that rapture comes and that trumpet blows and we go up yonder. Lord, help us be faithful that we may hear one day those words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of thy Lord. We love you tonight, Lord, and we pray it all in Jesus Christ's name. And the people said, amen. 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 Praise the Lord, people. Just let's stand and turn to 231 in closing. 231. How many of you know that we need them, and we need them every hour?
Every second.
Yes, every second of every hour.
Channel.
That would be 231. Praise the Lord. In closing. First, third, and fourth. I need the Dios gracious Lord, no tender voice like thine can peace afford. I need thee, oh, I need thee, every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior, I come to thee. I need thee every hour, in joy or pain. Come quickly and abide, or life is vain. I need thee, oh, I need thee, every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior, I come to thee on the fourth. I need thee every hour, most holy one. Oh, make me thine indeed, thou blessed Son. I need thee, oh, I need thee, every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior, I come to thee. Praise the Lord. Brother Tim, dismiss us in prayer, would you? Dismiss us in prayer. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord, for letting us have a gift here, Lord Father, for the message that we heard tonight.
Please
allow everyone to get home safely, Lord, and bless everybody in this room. And we ask that you give us safe travel back here on Wednesday, Lord. And bless the pastor for the work he's doing, Lord. Just give him an extra blessing. And we ask this in the bloody Son. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.